It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. In Wisconsin, there may be two women vying for a U.S. Senate seat that is currently held by one of them. Of the eight Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidates who are considered viable, two are women. And just last week, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, virtually ignored by the New York press, slew sitting Congressman Joe Crowley, who is in his 20th year in Congress and who was part of the Democratic leadership. So is this the year of the woman? And how can women take advantage of this by putting their best message forward? We're talking to you. Are you a woman who has run for office? What surprised you about the campaign? Have you worked for campaigns? Did you see women face criticism because, well, they were women? Did you see advantages to having a woman candidate? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guest this hour is helping women understand the mechanics of running for office. Patricia Russo is executive director of the Women's Campaign School at Yale. Patricia, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm good. I should note that Patricia is joining us by Skype. So let's get into this. Why do you call running for office more than a full-time job?
Oh, why is it more than a full-time job? Because there is so much that goes into running an effective, successful campaign that is really something that you've got to focus on 24/7. So that's why it's so important that you have what I call a political love tribe, a dream team that's going to work closely with you to help you make that happen.
A dream team consisting of?
Well, it depends on what you're running for. You know, a campaign manager, finance director, volunteer coordinator, a treasurer. That's kind of the bare bones, depending upon what level of office you're seeking. I did want to add, Carrie, that one of our own Women's Campaign School at Yale rock star alum, Sarah Godlewski, is running for state treasurer in Wisconsin.
Oh, they're very interesting. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about this course. Is this just a crash course over a week? Are they able to come back and take like more advanced courses? Mm-hmm. What are you teaching them? What are the women coming in with? What are the questions they're coming in with? And what are they leaving having answered?
It's a 5-day, our premier program is a 5-day intensive held at Yale Law School. We just graduated our 24th class 2 weeks ago. And it's a nonpartisan, issue neutral political training program, both for women interested in running for office, women already in office and want to prepare for a campaign at the next level, or for women who are interested in campaign management. Because when we think about campaign managers who are women, we think of Donna Brazile on the Democratic side, and we think of Kellyanne Conway on the Republican side, and then we're in free fall. So we need more women everywhere, Carrie.
My mic is off. You there? My mic is off?
I can't hear you, Carrie.
Okay, so we got another mic here. Who attends this? We tend to, a friend of mine who is a journalist emailed me or texted me a few days ago saying, hey, do you know of anything that is like Emerge but for Republican women? And so I texted somebody I knew in the state legislature in Nevada who is a Republican woman, and I asked her if there was anything like Emerge but for Republicans, and her answer was, boy, I wish. Mm-hmm. So you're nonpartisan. Do you get as many Republican women in as you do Democratic women?
No, we do not. Primarily we have seen certainly an increase in the number of Democratic women over the past 2 years, definitely part of the surge that we're experiencing in the country. But what's interesting is, Carrie, we've seen a major uptick in the number of independent women attending our school. And I'm wondering if they used to be something else because it's so unusual.
And what are when women come to you, I mean, especially now, especially in the last couple of years, what is it that they want? Why are they running?
Most of them are running for state level seats. So most of them are running for a state rep, a state senate, treasurer, so state seats. In the past, we've had women running for Congress. We have two women who not only attended our school, but also were members of our board for a certain period of time. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is a graduate of our school. When she decided to run for Congress, she attended our school, as did Gabby Giffords, a former congresswoman from Arizona, who not only attended our school, but served on our board for several years. So it's really for women, and it's a boot camp format. So we mimic the energy of a political campaign. So we start very early in the morning. We run through various subjects throughout the day. And then after dinner, we break our class up into small groups, case study groups, and study a live congressional race that's happening currently. And we just throw in Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Green Party, any party, no party, along with our international candidates. 10% of our women who attend our school, our five-day every year carrier, are from other parts of the world, which I think adds a texture and a richness to our school that's pretty astonishing.
So that's kind of fascinating to me. So what are they coming to you with? We know what our political system is. Mm-hmm. Are you learning about their political system and how they differ and how they're the same?
They're really learning about skills that work successfully and effectively for women in our country, how to put a campaign speech together, how to deliver it succinctly, how to hire staff, how to put your campaign budget together. What is get out the vote and how do you do that successfully? Social media, which is huge everywhere. Just all the components that women need everywhere to run a successful campaign, they come to learn.
Patricia Russo is the executive director of the Women's Campaign School at Yale, and we are taking your calls. Are you a woman thinking of running for office? What is it that you, why do you want to run? What is it you might be thinking of running for? And what questions do you have? Are you hesitant to kind of like dip your toe in the water there? 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. This is a very cutthroat political climate, Patricia. How do you make sure that women are heard in the campaign school?
Well, we have a, in the beginning of the week, Monday of school, we're very clear about how we treat each other, that we're respectful, that everyone has an equal voice and a responsibility to speak up. And we hope that they carry that back back to their home states and are able to utilize the civility that they've learned at our school throughout their campaigns. But they are prepared for, the ugliness of the environment. I mean, that's just
so. Is the environment
we deal in reality, Carrie? Because we want our students to be just prepared for anything that may come their way.
Wow. So, what is first of all is the ugliness within the class structure itself? I mean, in those 5 days, do you find that people are really talking to each other, or are they're bringing the baggage in from outside? And second of all, what is it that you train them to deal with from the outside?
We, they kind of check the ugliness and really even check their party affiliation at the door, because our whole thing is, in addition to providing exemplary training, we also want to change the political climate because the current political climate just isn't working, Carrie. And, women, just based on our gender, we're just much more collaborative when it comes to our leadership style. We're much more easily able to check our egos at the door for the greater good. And so we want to amplify that and celebrate that and get it back into the real world so that we can change the political culture here.
And what do you tell them? I mean, as you're taking them through, you're going to go through a campaign, and this may be the attack that you get.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do a lot of role playing with them. We talked we talk about, you know, challenges that they may face and how to best handle them. You know, we give them a variety of different options and how to deal with social media trolls and bullies and, you know, just kind of all the negative aspects of campaigning that you have to learn how to deal with.
We're going to get back to this in a moment. We are talking with Patricia Russo of the Women's Campaign School at Yale University. In a moment, we'll talk about what is prompting so many women to run for office. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. A nonpartisan campaign school is helping women figure out the ins and outs of running for office. More women than ever are running in 2018 on the local and national level, including many in Wisconsin and many who have come from this school. This state might have two women running against each other for Senate. So what made this surge happen? Was it the election of Donald Trump or the defeat of Hillary Clinton? And how are the new crop of female candidates approaching politics in a different way than men? Are you a woman? When did you realize you viewed women in politics different than men? Was it something that you said or you did that you realized you held them to different standards? 800-642-1234 is the number to call us. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet WPR Mornings. We love to get tweets. We love to get treats, too, but tweets are easier. Patricia Russo runs a women's campaign school at Yale University. She says they've changed since she first started teaching women how to run for office in the 90s. Patricia, so let's talk about how women approaching politics have changed. Why is it that women want to run for office, and what stops them to begin with?
Well, we've had many years of the woman since I've been.
I remember that, yes.
The Women's Campaign School. You know, 1992 was our big last year, which was really the one that catapulted the creation of our school, where there were so many women, both on the Democratic and Republican side, that were running for Congress at that time, and many of them won. So many of us who were active in those campaigns thought, well, okay, we have finally leveled the playing field for women, and thought that our work was done until 1993 happened and there were no women running. Mm-hmm. So our visionary founder, a woman by the name of Andre Brooks from right here from Connecticut, had an idea, a brilliant idea that you know, we needed a campaign school for women, that there were women challenges that women face that men, quite frankly, never even have to think about.
Like what?
Like how dare you be a woman and run for office? You know, back then, and still to this day, but less so, thankfully, you know, when women would run for office, people would ask, the press would ask inappropriate questions like, don't you have children? Mm. Who's going to raise them? You know, you're going to be out late at night. What does your husband think about that? I mean, just kinds of questions that fortunately now don't happen as often, but they still happen. You know, women are judged on things that have no basis in reality for being an effective legislator. And so we believe that a nonpartisan, issue-neutral political campaign training program would really help to level the playing field. We just want to give women an equal shot, you know, at being credible and learning the skills that they need to be successful. And that was the basis. So in 1994, which was our first class, the median age was, I don't know, mid-40s and predominantly white. And now, fast forward 24 years later, the median age is 30 and predominantly women of color. It's really exciting to see.
That's really cool. Talk to me about why men run for office and why women run for office.
You know, the gender differences are rather profound. I mean, a man gets up in the morning, he gets dressed, he looks in the mirror and says, I'm going to run for the United States Senate today. Can I raise the $10 million, which is kind of the minimum you need to raise to run for Senate? Sure I can. I've got friends. They've got friends. I'm a good guy. No problem. Do I know all the issues facing my state? Of course not. But I'll just outsource it. And a consultant will tell me what the top three issues are. And I'll just run around my state repeating those issues. Do I know enough people who will support me so that I can win? Sure I do. I'm a great guy. I'm smart. People like me. I belong to the country club. I belong to the golf club. Done. Women, $10 million for a Senate race. I can't raise $500 at my daughter's bake sale. How am I gonna raise that kind of money? I don't know all the issues facing my state. I better get on my laptop and start researching them, because that's what we do. We're multitaskers. And I don't know that many people who are going to vote for me. Who's going to vote for me? So it never occurs to a man that he can't win. And it never occurs to a woman that she can. And that we're finally seeing changing. And that's really exciting, finally.
So the gap here isn't so much that women lose when they run for office. It's that they don't run for office.
Exactly. You know, they talk themselves out of it. There's a research that's been done that says a woman has to be asked 5, 6, 7 times before she even seriously considers running for office. And I say, this isn't the prom. You don't have to wait to be asked. So, you know, back in 2016, right after the presidential election, we started getting calls and emails from women who were numb, just shocked at the results of the presidential. And they really didn't know what they wanted to do. They just knew that they needed to be more civically engaged. Fast forward to the first Global Women's March, where an explosion of women all over the country and the world were mad, marched, and wanted to run for office. So that Sunday, right after the march, Carrie, we were flooded with calls and emails from women who had marched all over the country. Hi, I'm Anna from Akron, Ohio. I'm mad. I marched. When's your next session? Call me back. And I started returning those calls. I was so excited. And this was a Sunday. And when I started calling them back and asking them, where are you registered to vote? Oh, I'm not registered to vote. But I'm mad now. You're not registered to vote. So a third of the women, Carrie, who reached out to us after that first march weren't even registered to vote. The second third were registered to vote, but didn't vote in the presidential because, quote, the two candidates were so similar, I couldn't make up my mind. But I'm mad now. I marched and I'm mad. So two thirds of the women who called us after the first march were not appropriate for a 5-day intensive. And so we decided then that we were going to raise $100,000 to start a 1-day intensive, a whole new level of training to meet these women at their new passion, newly discovered passion for politics, and have them not feel overwhelmed at a 5-day intensive. So that was launched last year. It's called the Women's Campaign School at Yale, The Basics. And it provides everything that a woman needs to know to launch a successful political campaign at the local level. And oftentimes we've done 6 of them and we've trained about 1,000 women throughout the country to launch their political careers. And so many have said to us at the end of the day, wow, there's a lot to this.
So the first.
I'm glad I'm not at the 5-day. I could barely go through the 1-day. So it's really exciting because I think that, you know, we need to energize and inspire and help women at all levels get ready to run, because we need more women running and winning.
So the first thing that I find interesting is that the first idea is get register to vote. If you're going to run for office, you probably should register to vote. But the other part is that I find interesting is the women who said, "Oh, I didn't vote because I thought the candidates were too similar, but now I'm mad." If they thought the candidates were too similar, then what made them mad? Either one should have made them happy or not care.
You would think. I really have no idea. I think that initially so many women just were kind of turned off, you know, and they just did not care for the negativity, the hostility, again, the ugliness, and just opted out. But then once Donald Trump got elected and he started, you know, saying that he was going to fulfill his promises, that's kind of how women awakened to, wow, I don't believe in this. Maybe I need to do something. I need to step up. And that's what we're seeing all over the country. It's very exciting.
We are talking about women running for office with Patricia Russo of the Women's Campaign School at Yale. We're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Are you thinking of running for office? Are you a woman? And what are the hurdles that you need to get over to make up your mind to do so? So, Patricia, people come in, they hated the anger and the rhetoric and the sort of like nastiness of the 2016 campaign. When they come into your school, you are not sugarcoating that, are you? How do you handle getting them to handle that nastiness outside?
Well, that's our whole point. It's just that this is part of the reality currently of politics. And the only way we're going to change that conversation is if we train leaders to behave differently, to act differently, and to be present in the world that is new, exciting, different. And, I think that our country is yearning for that right now, yearning for connection, collaboration. And, you know, women just happen to do that very, very well. You know, I talk a lot about the first sequester years ago, and both Senator Susan Collins from Maine and Patty Murray from Washington were on that finance committee. And days were going by and nothing was happening. Nothing was getting resolved. The guys, you know, were battling each other. They were out in the hallway talking to the media, but nothing was getting done. And so Susan Collins went to her friend Patty Murray and said, "Are you as frustrated as I that nothing's getting done? We're not moving forward. The clock's ticking. And, you know, the American people are hurting." So they stayed up all night to put a draft together to present to their finance committee the next morning. That draft became the end to the sequester.
The sequester in 2011, right?
Mm-hmm. And I just think that speaks volumes to the way in which women work together, you know, work collaboratively together, again, for the greater good.
So there are a lot of women running this year. There are state houses all over the country that might be more than 50% women come November. We shall see. And is there such a thing as too much of a good thing?
No, there's not. There's not too much of a good thing. You know, I believe, Carrie, that women are going to be the story of the 2018 midterms. I'm really excited about that. I just think the more women we get in the pipeline, the better. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, all of these women who are running, I mean, you see the energy and the excitement and all the upsets happening. It's just kind of, you know, all different kinds of people are paying attention. And so as a result of that, I'm hoping that, you know, more and more women will step up and say, why not me? Now, in addition to the exemplary training that we provide for our students, the other thing that we provide that I believe is key to the success of a woman running and running well, no matter the office, is that we have a mentoring component to our school, Carrie, for all of our graduates. So we have a very active Facebook alumni page. When I travel, I'll send out a message to that page. Hi, I'm going to be in Chicago. Who wants to have dinner with me? If you have good news, I really would love to see you. But if you are floundering, you need to see me. I think that that mentoring component is just equally as important as the training. Because women get lost. You know, we just get lost. Yeah. We start feeling filled with self-doubt. Oh, I'm the only one that's, you know, lost a campaign manager, or I've got a fundraiser who's, you know, costing me more money than raising me more money. You know, this kind of happens to everybody. But women tend to take it personally. And a lot of times it's just about having a talk and talking about zooming into plan B and then deciding what plan B is going to be for them.
So you have women practice speeches. You have women talking in front of cameras. You go through drills. Do you go through debate drills? And what is it that you're trying to gain from doing that?
Well, the thing that is so inspiring about the work that we do, not only at during our 5-day intensive, but also our 1-day intensive, is we see women transformed within a very short period of time. We see them looking more confident, feeling more confident, sounding more confident. And I believe that the number one reason why we don't have more women everywhere leading in all fields in our country is that they never feel that they're enough. You know, they lack they have the passion, but their sense of self. And so on Monday of school, I will say to our students, by Wednesday, you're not going to recognize yourselves. Between, you know, collaborating with your colleagues here at school, the exemplary training you're getting from Republicans and Democrats all day, our faculty are extraordinary, and the case study work that you're going to be doing, by Wednesday, you're going to start feeling very differently about yourself and your abilities. By Friday, when we launch you back into your respective worlds, you're ready to take on your world.
So when they get out, when they get into the campaign, what are they telling you when they need that mentoring? Well, the differences between what they learned and what they're dealing with in the real world.
You know, it's very much what we warn them about and what we work with them about. So they really are well prepared to deal with it. What has been interesting to see, Carrie, is a woman initially, when she applies to our school, will say, I'm interested in campaign management. But by the end of the week, they're thinking, I want to run for office now.
Because they're really interested in running for office, but they take the second job. That happens to women all the time.
Yes.
They take the back job.
And now we just, you know, help them think about the top job. Think about it. How to go after it. Know that it might be no. And if it's no, you know, do you walk away and, you know, find another campaign? I mean, that's the beauty of our system now, right? I'm old enough to remember when campaigns, Carrie, had a beginning, a middle, and an end. That's not happening. You know, I'm still getting, I get, you know, fundraising invites, you know, over the holidays. I mean, it's crazy.
Ah, right. So we are talking to Patricia Russo, who runs a campaign schools for women at Yale University. Patricia just mentioned fundraising, and we're going to get into that after the break. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. What do you think of all the women running these days? Do you want to be one of them? Are you kind of interested? Call us, 800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Every year since 1994, women thinking about running for office have headed to New Haven, Connecticut, to attend a seminar run by our guest today. Women's Campaign School at Yale gives women practical advice from fundraising to dress about how to run a successful campaign. Patricia Russo is the school's executive director, and she is with us today, and we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. So, Patricia, you mentioned before the break that we were talking about raising money, and a woman come in going, how do I raise money? I need to raise $10 million if I want to run for Senate, or I have to raise a lesser amount if I'm running for a local office. Raising money is the number one thing that politicians complain about. They spend more time raising money sometimes than they do dealing with their constituents. And somebody who comes to you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and really wanting to make a difference, and you tell her, yeah, sit down and make a phone call, what's the reaction?
Well, women traditionally are, you know, great at raising money for other things. You know, they're great at raising money for nonprofits that they feel passionately about, or for their churches, synagogues, temples. But when it comes to raising money for themselves or their perception of themselves, that's where, as you know, the rubber meets the road. So we fundraising, even though everyone in America is for campaign finance reform, not happening. And again, we deal in reality. And so we spend half a day on fundraising techniques. That's how important it is. If you can't raise the money to fuel your campaign, you're not going to be able to be effective and successful. It's just going to be a very, very difficult and challenging road. So the fundraising component of our school is critical to the success of a woman running at any level. And all the numbers are daunting: $10 million for a Senate race, $100,000 in some places for a state Senate race, where you know you're paid $20,000 and you've got to raise $100,000 for that position. And so we spend a great amount of time making sure that women achieve a level of comfort fundraising, because again, that's the reality of their life. If they're going to run for office, they have to feel comfortable dialing for dollars.
So in the local races, I know a lot of people who have run for local office who go door to door, even in the heat of the summer.
They're all out there, Carrie.
They are all out there. So how much does that make a difference? And talk to me about the balance between that, between actually facing voters, talking to voters, and having money on hand to do television commercials or perhaps YouTube commercials.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the two are equally important. In order for you to fuel your campaign and run, you know, put your campaign plan into practice, you've got to be able to raise the money and to get your message out. That is key. But the door to door is equally critical, especially on the local level. It's important that you get out and talk to your neighbors about why you're running, why support you for office versus, you know, the myriad of other candidates out there running. So it's a real balancing act. And, you know, when women talk about balance, life, family balance, especially when they're running for office, there isn't any, you know. A lot of times we'll just say to them, you know, bring your family with you. You know, there was a candidate that I was working for who, you know, was lamenting to me that she never saw her husband. And I said, bring them to these dinners that you're speaking at.
Right.
You know, figure out creative ways to get your families involved, which is a good thing, especially if they're on board. It's a great thing. And know that this is going to be the priority in your life for the next year.
So the big news this week in terms of women running for office is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who did a lot of door-to-door, who did a lot of parties and events and what have you. was virtually ignored by the New York press. Was she able to raise enough money, or was that mostly grassroots that she did?
It was really her focus was grassroots, really grassroots. And, you know, she was the surprise of the week. That's for sure. To the Democratic Party, you know, polling will only get you so far. You know, when you have all the energy on your side of the, you know, on your campaign, people, you have a message that you have a compelling message that's resonating with people. This is what happens. I think we're going to see a lot of those wonderful surprises. I think in the next couple of months. I know you've got a primary there in Wisconsin on August 14th. It's exciting to see what's happening
We shall see. Right now we have 8 Democratic candidates who are vying for governor. So we'll see who gets winnowed down to face Scott Walker. I want to talk about resources in terms of how do I live? How do I survive? I have a full-time job, and now I'm going to go out on the campaign trail, which is a full-time and a half job. Mm-hmm. I cannot take money that I raise for my campaign to live. So how do you deal with that issue? I mean, I'm going to go into debt so that I can run for office? If I have the ability to go into debt. If I'm a lower income woman, may not even have a credit card that will help me sustain those few months.
Right. It's a balancing act, Carrie, for sure. When you're running for anything below Congress, you can figure it out. I mean, you can figure out a schedule where you can really go to work and then be out every night, be out on the weekends 24/7 and still hold down your job. It's exhausting. It's exhilarating. But it can be done. Really, on the congressional Senate levels, it's you know, most people who run for those positions at that level, they have flexible jobs, you know, and they also usually have, you know, other financial resources available to them so they can take time off. They can work part time. That's usually the case. And so there is a way to do it. It's just knowing that for a time you're going to have 2 full-time jobs.
Mm-hmm. You know? And so if I am a lower income woman and I don't have maybe a spouse to support me, I've got 2 kids that I need to support. Where do I get the opportunity? I mean, is there anything that's set up that says I will help you? I will help you live. I will help you survive as you're running for office. Or is that just totally illegal?
Well, you know, it really depends on, again, what position they're running for. I think that there are more options and more flexibility, Carrie, for that scenario on the local level. It's less taxing if you've got a very, very engaged political party locally. They at least will help you with the, you know, political expenses of your campaign. And so you're able to make a living by, you know, still going to your job. And so that's I think, the best case scenario for women who have a lot of responsibility, personal responsibility, and don't have, you know, additional financial assistance coming from anywhere else. The other thing, Carrie, I just wanted to mention before we close is we are willing to speak to any woman. So they're not calling in right now. They may not be tweeting you right now for a variety of reasons. But, you know, we are willing to talk to any woman who's thinking about running for office. They can email me at prusso@wcsel.org. Or they can call me at 203-734-7385, because that's how we get, you know, it's all about our sisterhood and connection, and we are happy to do that for women.
Well, so would you recommend that a woman maybe start out working on a campaign, maybe running a campaign before taking the lead herself?
Well, what we've done is, again, with all these women who were marched and mad and they weren't even registered to vote, that was their political homework assignment that I gave them. I said to them, go work on a campaign. From the outside looking in, it looks all shiny and fabulous and exciting, and it is, but it's also a lot of hard work. So go online, find a candidate who is aligned with your values and is local, and volunteer. Volunteer and see how that feels to you. And, you know, a lot of times after they volunteered, they think, wow, what was I thinking? This isn't for me. Mm-hmm. Or, gosh, this is really exciting. I want to do more of this. And, you know, I want to run, or I want to run a campaign. So I think, you know, getting on the ground and working on a campaign locally is the most, the fastest and most efficient way to get a sense of whether or not this life is for you.
So I started becoming politically active as a teenager. I started volunteering for campaigns.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And then I became a journalist. So what do you tell younger women who are interested in this, who maybe are turned off by the nastiness of it? What should they do? How should they get started?
I tell them basically the same thing. You know, we speak to a lot of high schools and a lot of universities. There's a lot going on campuses. I speak to the Girl Scouts on being a leader in your community. And one of the, one of the suggestions that I make is, if you have a passion for an issue, find a candidate in your community that shares that passion with you. And that will shift your energy from being negative and feeling like, wow, nothing is going to change. You're going to be a part of that change.
We have been talking about women and what women have to know in order to run for office. Patricia Russo is executive director of the Women's Campaign School at Yale University. She spent more than 25 years focused on women's leadership. Thanks for being with us this morning, Patricia.
My pleasure, Carrie. Have a fabulous day.
You too. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.